Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello, and welcome to segment 4 of our special Brainathon series. This segment is about how to eject emotional hijackers from your brain. Thank you so much for joining me during our Brainathon, which marks the launch of the Brain Booster Club, which will allow me to continue expanding my passion of helping people to have their best brains, be their best learners, and live their best lives. And I came to this passion from being fascinated with learning from the time I was young. I'm a lifelong learner. Learning has been easy for me. And as I worked in the fields of education, teaching, and then training and coaching, as I realized that other people did not learn about how their brains worked, did not have the amazing teachers like I had in elementary school, Mrs. Ruprecht, who taught me about the brain and well, about memory strategies. And because I love learning about the brain and I love empowering people for success, that is a wonderful combination then that allowed me to take what is happening in neuroscience research and education research and say, because you weren't born with an owner's manual for your brain, I could translate that into everyday language so that you can make great choices and to learn more easily, more efficiently, whether that's at work, at school, or at home. You can have more effective communication. As parents, we can be more effective as we teach the young brains, because young brains are developmentally different in children and teens, and then they change even more when we become adults. So that's why I have a passion for the work that I do and an excitement. And so sometimes I talk very quickly because I'm very excited about what I have to share. The good news is when you're listening to a recording, if you have downloaded this or purchased this, then it's available to you to push pause, back up, take notes, and contact me for additional information. So in our short time that we have today, in our 30-minute segment, we'll introduce you to emotional hijacking, what happens in the brain, and then those action steps. What can I do? What can you do to shift from that state of emotional hijacking so that we can be more rational? Have you ever been in a situation as an adult where you find yourself responding like a 5-year-old or you're having a tantrum and you look back and you wonder, who was that? Was that me talking? It can be very challenging. The term emotional hijack comes from amygdala hijack. The amygdala is a small almond-shaped structure in our brains. We actually have two, one on each side, left and right. And they're very close to another structure called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is key in memory, as is the amygdala. The amygdala is mature at birth, and it is key in processing emotions. And as I said, Daniel Goleman, in his 1996 book, Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ, coined the term amygdala hijack. And the term is pretty descriptive because the emotions actually hijack our ability to be logical and rational. If you ever tried to have a logical or rational conversation with someone who's extremely emotional, it does not work. A brain that is in emotional hijack or amygdala hijack has blood flow going to a part of the brain called the limbic system. It's the survival part of our brain, sometimes referred to the animal instinct part of our brain. And when we have a situation where, for whatever reason, we feel stress, threat, the amygdala launches into survival mode, it triggers chemicals that create intense emotion and action. So those perceived potential threats, now they don't have to be real threats. They can be imaginary threats. Disrupt the normal communication flow of information in our brain, because we do want to have an emotional response from our amygdala, we just don't want it to be an explosive one that leads us to trigger the fight or flight response. It's often called when we either want to fight or run away. Because in our current situation as human beings, fight or flight is usually an inappropriate response and we're unable to do either one. Sometimes when this happens, we have amygdala hijack. There's an action plan that flies, our chemical response in our brain and body. We don't have time to intervene with logical thought. You know, if you think about it, I mentioned this in part one of our brain-a-thon, talking about the brain survival, being concerned with, can I eat it? Can it eat me? And so in a split second, there is that same reaction that we had as a species from a long time ago. We respond to that perceived threat. Goleman talks about three kinds, and we're talking particularly about negative emotional hijacking. You can have a positive emotional hijack as well from something amazing and wonderful that happens. Or that when someone tells you something funny and you just get laughing so hard you're crying, that's also a kind of emotional hijack. But right now we're talking about when it's a negative form. There are three signs that tell you there's an emotional hijack happening in yourself or someone else. It's a very strong, intense emotional reaction. It comes on very suddenly and very quickly. And third, after it's over, when we look back, we realize the reaction was inappropriate. So when we're in it, when you can feel intense emotion, it's coming up quickly, it's a sign that you're in emotional hijack. Now, can you do something about that? Yes. You can train yourself to manage those differently. The research of a scientist by the name of Joseph Ledoux said that anatomically, based on the anatomy, our emotional system can act independently of our rational system, the neocortex. And there is not any conscious cognitive participation, so because it's a shortcut. It bypasses the normal flow. So Ledoux went on to say that he believed you could learn to intercept that process that's gone into a shortcut mode to control the amygdala's response with therapy, with strategies, so we still can have the emotion. We can reduce either the intensity of the hijack or the amount of time we spend there. And so, excuse me, then what we want to do is first recognize it's happening. Now, let's talk about what's happening in other people, because that's often one of the risks. When you have one brain that's an emotional hijack, when the brains around it respond in a similar fashion, it just increases the negative, intense emotional situation. So as a parent, for example, if I see that my child is intensely emotional and came on quickly, they are probably experiencing an emotional or amygdala hijack. Me trying to be logical and rational with that brain is ineffective. So taking some actions and strategies that we'll share in a moment for how do you eject those quote hijackers from your brain, how do you shift the blood flow back to involving the neocortex, the part of our brain where we're rational, so that we can have the learning conversation without me getting angry because the child's angry or the child's frustrated and then I get frustrated and I elevate to anger, pretty soon we're both yelling at each other. So if you understand what happens during an emotional hijack or amygdala hijack, you can stay out of that loop and actually help the other person. Now, in yourself, can you recognize it? Yes. And by the way, when you go through an emotional hijack, the kids in your life, the children in your life, tend to mirror your emotional response. So, for example, if you've got a child who's not getting ready for school quickly enough and you are getting frustrated and concerned about being late and so you're getting shorter and louder and angrier, and pretty soon the child's angrier. And they're digging their heels in as well. So you're getting more of a response you don't want. So what can you do? Well, once you recognize emotional hijack is happening, it's good to take a time out to remove yourself from the situation if you can, even if it's for a couple minutes, before you're saying or doing things you look back and say, who was that? For example, let's take a look at a morning I needed to leave extra early. I was on my way to do some training, and my son was probably 4 years old, 5 years old, and I'm out the door in the driveway, and he's standing in the doorway. It's a sunny summer day, sun, 6 a.m., sun is shining, and I'm saying, come on, hurry up, and he's standing there looking. And I said, well, come on. He said, well, Mom, are there any bees? So I'm standing in the driveway, flapping my arms like they're wings, saying, honey, there are no bees. And I'm yelling this 6 o'clock in the morning, and I all of a sudden have this out-of-body moment that if someone were filming this for a reality show, I would look ridiculous. And I took a deep breath. And I said, I'm sorry I yelled. I walked up the stairs, opened the door. I said, come down with me and you'll see there are no bees. All he wanted was to feel safe. He was feeling threatened and fearful about being stung by a bee. So once I recognized and I had that timeout flash after I yelled and went, oh my gosh, what just happened? It was after the fact. That story reminds me now when I face emotional hijack again, to stop. Before I say something, I can feel the intense emotion. It's coming on quickly. Before I open my mouth, I stop. It's time out. Next strategy, number 2, is to breathe deeply, to increase oxygen flow to the brain. Because as we're building that emotional hijack, we have cortisol running through our system. That's a stress chemical. Our breathing is rapid, our heart rate is rapid. We need to slow that down. And to do that, the timeout, taking deep breaths, slows our system. And to shift our emotional state, a strategy I created that I use often and share often is inhale blessings and exhale gratitude. So as you're inhaling slowly and deeply, think about something good in your life, something you consider a blessing in your life. Hold your breath for a few seconds, and then as you exhale, feel the gratitude for that blessing. Think of, I'm so grateful for that. And repeat that several times, very slowly, and you'll discover a shift begin to happen. You'll find yourself feeling less intense emotionally about that situation. So, breathe deeply. slow deep breaths to try to restore your physiology, your blood flow, your heart rate, your breathing back down to a calmer state. The third thing that you can do, the third step, is to ask yourself some questions to begin to shift from, or to continue, excuse me, to shift from that limbic area of your brain, the survival area of your brain, into increasing the blood flow into the neocortex, the frontal lobes, where we have our logical, rational thinking. So to ask yourself, as I did, that question that broke my hijack was, oh my gosh, if somebody were looking at me on a reality show, what would I look like? That broke it for me. Sometimes it's asking other questions like, if I say something right now, will I get a positive response? Is this response about something that is really threatening, or is this about a story I'm telling myself? I'm reacting to something this person said or did. Can I take a step back and ask them a question or ask myself a different question to see what is really the issue here? Is it about what the other person said, or is it because I flashed back to the last time somebody said this to me and had a terrible result? Sometimes it's a visual cue we're responding to. Someone shakes their finger at me, which is interesting because I haven't quite figured out why I have an emotional response and a visceral response when someone shakes their finger at me. Because my parents didn't. I don't recall a teacher doing it. However, if someone starts shaking their finger at me while they're talking to me, I have a defiant feeling. I stand tall. I get into that self-defense kind of physicality. And I have this emotional rush of chemicals, like I have to defend myself, like I'm feeling attacked or threatened. So I know when I see the finger pointing, someone shaking, and I could just be because they're making a point of how important something is, which is different than that wagging finger of, we do at kids sometimes, that says, now will you please stop and think about what you're doing, and our finger, index fingers pointed at them, shaking up and down. If you can identify the triggers and what will cause you to move into an amygdala hijack, and someone pushes that trigger, we have a pre-planned response we can go into. That helps. So that's a fourth strategy. If you know that you have trigger words, button, or words or actions or situations where you have a tendency to have this emotional or amygdala hijack happen, plan ahead of time. If you begin to feel it, what will I think, say, or do to moderate or mediate that response? Time out if I can. Breathing deeply. Asking myself some questions. Maybe it's wait. I know that there's some feelings of threat here. Let's take a step back, ask some questions to get really clear about what's going on. You can either ask yourself or ask the other person. A bonus strategy that also helps with emotional hijacking when you've got all those chemicals flying in through your system, the fight or flight chemicals, cortisol and adrenaline, which speeds your system up, and norepinephrine in the brain, then we need to move them through our system, process them through our system. One of the things we can do is move, get physical exercise. If we're sitting in a chair having a conversation, very challenging to dissipate the chemicals in our brain and body. So taking that time out might say excusing yourself to use the restroom, because then you're walking and giving yourself some time. Moving is good. It's another way to change your physiology and your chemistry. So bonus strategies. Here is an exercise that you can do that will help you to calm yourself. It's called a hookup. Hookups are found in Carla Hanifer's book, Smart Moves, Where Learning is Not All in Your Head. Also found in the Brain Body book. And it's used by Dr. Lynn Neff in the Strengthening of Skills Learning Program. It's called, again, hookups. What you want to do is extend your arms straight out in front of you, both arms. Turn your hands outward. Your palms are facing out. Then you want to take one arm and put it up and over the other. So now you're crossing at the wrists and your palms are facing each other. Interlock all of your fingers. Now bring your arms down towards your stomach and you're going to bend at the elbow and bring your folded hands in, under, and up and cross your ankles. Now, you can do this sitting down so if you've got some balance issues. And you want to hold this for at least 30 seconds. Now, if it's intense emotion, I will encourage people to hold this pose longer. This does several things. It crosses the vertical and horizontal midlines of our bodies. It causes, when we do that, that causes our brain to have to communicate more intensely. There's more communication going across the two hemispheres of our brain. It calms and focuses and attention. Breathing deeply helps as you're doing this. Now, I've done this when, for example, I had an intense parent-teacher conference in my career, and I did this under the table. My hands were under the table, so I wasn't able to pull them in, under, and up. So I crossed my ankles and crossed the palms and interlocked the fingers while I was trying to maintain my calm while this parent was going through an emotional hijack experience before I knew what emotional hijack was. And so if you have a child who you want to help learn, who's very frustrated, struggling, not understanding something, and as parents we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and when they're in emotional hijack, their brain doesn't care about learning a concept in English. It's feeling threatened, it's feeling stressed. Doing hookups helps to calm the brain, taking a break, same thing, a timeout, taking deep breaths, giving them some language to use about, okay, is this really a major problem? Can we calm down and look at some different ways that we could address this? This is just one piece of what we have to do, and you can do it with some help. And to take a break and let them move, have them do, if they can do some running, if you have an exercise bike, they can do just some stretching to get the blood pumping throughout their body. That will help change the chemistry, physiology, so they can then focus and move through the emotional hijacking and be ready to learn more effectively again. So hopefully you've gained some insights into amygdala and emotional hijacking and the strategies you can use with yourself and to stay calm when those around you are going through emotional hijack. There is a session that I have done with clients called Fix the Brain, Then Fix the Problem in dealing with customer service because, again, when you try to be logical and rational with an upset emotional customer client, it doesn't work. It's how do we use empathy statements to let that other brain know that we recognize the intense emotion that they're in? And then how do we move through that process and communicate empathy to problem solving? So fix the brain, then fix the problem. That works for you, and it works for the people around you as well. Wow, there's still, again, so much more that I could share, and our time is short. So let me introduce you to the Brain Booster Club, because this is a way that I can be with you more often, support you in having your best learning, your best brain, your best success as you go through your days. The Brain Booster Club provides you resources, articles to help you create your best brain, to understand how it's working a little bit better so that you can make smart choices. We can't choose what we do not know. So you'll have several calls with me a month that are available to you that will be recorded for you. We'll have what I call a brain buddy call to help you become friends with your brain so that you understand some things about structures and functions, how your brain learns, and how you can help it perform at its peak to give you its best performance. We'll cover things like how your brain filters information, differences between child, adolescent, and adult brains, and more. And the technical information will be presented in a way that is everyday language that's easily understood. We'll have an expert interview call once a month where I will be interviewing some of the brightest brains in neuroscience research and application and learning and success so that you can apply those strategies in your life. We'll have a Q&A call each month because there are questions that come up as we go through this learning process, and I want to be here to answer those for you as best I can or to find the information or the resources for you. And you'll get a weekly brain booster to something that's actionable you can do each week for yourself, with your children, for the children in your life, whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a learner, a student. And in addition, right now, Lynette Patterson is offering an ebook to those who join the Brain Booster Club. Lynette is a life strategist and health coach, was my guest on part two of our Brainathon, Feed Your Brain for Learning. And she is offering 20 top brain foods, 20 pages, an easy read, great resource. That's also a bonus if you join the Brain Booster Club right now. And the cost, your investment for that is only $9.97 a month for all of the value to help you to have your best brain at work, at school, or at home, and to help the brains you love have their best brains, be their best brains as well. And in addition to help you save even more to make it even more cost effective, you can subscribe for a year, which means you'll pay for 10 months and get 2 months free. Because a year of brain boosting strategies is only $99.97. I wanted to make this very affordable so that people, many people can have access to this information that is life-changing. Because when your brain is working at its best, then your life can be at its best. Because you are a confident, competent learner. Maybe you don't feel as confident right now. You can learn to be confident and competent when it comes to what's happening in your brain, understanding more about whether something is normal, might be a sign of a problem, be an advocate for your child in the school system, as a teacher to help those students in your classes learn more effectively, and to deal with the aging brain, whether that's aging from 5 to 6 or whether that's aging from 70 to 90. Thank you so much for being with me here on segment 4 of our Brainathon. It's been my pleasure to bring you these 4 segments and valuable information, tools, and strategies that you can use and apply to enjoy better performance from your brain and to help the brains that you love. Check out brain-booster-club.com and join me for powerful information and strategies for accountability on implementing them in your life. And I hope that you have your best brain and do something to take care of the only brain you will ever have. And as I often say, love your brain like it's yours for life. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.